far today, we've looked at our vision statement, we've unpacked our mission statement, and the last thing we want to do here is play another short recorded video talking about our core values. And so someone has said, your vision statement is your destination. That's where you're headed. And as we know, with our vision statement, it's something that we never will fully achieve, but it's out there. That's where we want to head. Our mission, we're partnering with churches. That's the vehicle that we believe in how we get to that destination. And then finally, our core values is like guardrails that keep us on track. And we'll hear a little bit about that here in just a moment. You can go ahead and play that video. Jeff?
We see our core values as three pairs of complementary values that need to be held in tension. Taken together, they provide boundaries and define a clear path for us to follow. They keep us on track. We value tradition because our Anabaptist heritage is part of who we are, and we have no interest in turning from it. At the same time, we value innovation. Like God told Joshua, there remains yet very much land to be possessed. You could say that in terms of staying true to our godly heritage, we see land to be held. And in terms of bringing the nations to Jesus, we see much land to be gained. This means doing new things like Bible translation. We seek to maintain an attitude of humility. If we were to operate as if we're sufficient for the task, or come to think we're special because of what we do, we'd be deceived. The vision can't be done in even a small way without God, and it's His work. Yet with humility is confidence, because the church has God's authority to make disciples of every nation, and so we can have confidence to serve the church in her mission. Collaboration is important to us, because there's no way we could do this on our own. We partner with churches to send. We depend on people with experience for training and expertise. The work is complex and takes many people working together on every front, but we're also people of conviction. And by God's grace, we're going to be faithful to Him. That touches every area of our lives, including the principles we apply to Bible translation, community development, and church planting.
Okay, for the last part here, it's 9 o'clock. We're going to take a couple minutes to look at some questions that often come to us here at All Nations. I'm called Aaron, and I'm going to give him some questions here and let him hopefully bring some clarity to some of the different parts of All Nations, questions that we often get asked. I know that the work of All Nations at times can seem very multifaceted. There's many players in the game. So I'm just going to ask a couple questions here for Aaron, and hopefully it can bring some clarity to this work. So Aaron, question for you. If I were interested in joining ABT to work on a team, what would be the first step?
That's an exciting question. Maybe there's some people watching that are thinking about that question. Well, we'd be interested in hearing from you and starting some dialogue, but the first official step is probably to talk to your church. Or the first real step is to talk to your church. And officially, the first step is to have your pastor fill out a reference form and submit that to us. So if you go to our website, we have a page explaining this and we have the forms. But the reality is, as our mission says, we partner with churches to send teams. And if you're interested in being sent, then what you're interested in is your church partnering with All Nations. And so start that conversation at the right place. Start it with your church.
Very well. And that's something that, in the past, maybe when we started All Nations, we had people who joined up with All Nations maybe without having that conversation. So Ethan this afternoon talked about how, he was in conversation with his church for a number of years before they kind of got behind the vision. And so it can seem like maybe it takes longer. It's a slower process maybe, but we're confident that in the long run, you can go the distance when your church is behind you and blessing you and supporting you in the work. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's do a couple more questions yet. If I'm single, is there a place for me?
Absolutely. Apostle Paul. Have you ever heard of him? Yes, we have a number of members already who are single, both men and ladies, and lots of place for such people to serve. You don't have to have a family.
Sure. Actually, just a little tidbit. In the last year, we've had our first single member get on the field.
That's right.
And that is a lady and two of them. Sorry, who's the other one? Okay, that's fine. Boy.
They're both on the same team.
Both in the same team, yes, of course. Yeah, Juanita. and one is an Old Testament translator, and the other one is a literacy teacher. So that's fantastic. Yes, definitely a place for singles. And actually, sometimes they can serve in very unique ways. I know this afternoon we had Rochelle sharing from Africa, and she's a single lady living there. And I've been told that she's been able to do things that a couple could not have done in that context. Okay. Well, let's look at two more questions here. And the next one is, how long will training take?
It's hard to say, but being prepared. You've been hearing this here this afternoon and this evening. Being well prepared is essential. And so we have a list of requirements for training, minimal requirements that will take several years to accomplish. And depending how hard the push is, how hard you push, how much time you devote to the classes in a year's time, getting to the point of being ready to go, not finished studying, but maybe ready to go, could be 3 to 4 years. I wouldn't expect it to go faster than that, unless you're going to drop everything, do all your courses in a couple of years, and even then, I'm not sure it's quite possible. So, something like that.
Sure.
Long-term plan, long-term vision, long-term goals, take a long-term strategy. Lay the foundation deep, study well, prepare well, and get that training.
Amen. So the last one here is, first I'll make a statement, and then I'll ask you a question. So sometimes we have people say, so how many translators do you have working there at your base? And I say, we don't have any working here. I'm monolingual. I don't know any biblical languages. That's our focus is not translation work here. Our focus is on the field. And so you need to go to the field and learn the trade language, learn that local language, that language you want to translate into, and of course learn the culture and worldview and all these things. So no translators here. So that's clear. And then the question I have for you, Aaron, is how long will I be on the field?
God knows. Steve didn't know how long he would be, but he came back before he thought he would, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right, Steve? So when a person commits to doing this kind of work, they're taking on a life commitment. And putting a number of years on it is just really difficult and potentially a bit unwise. But how long does it take to do a translation? Well, if you're committed to doing 66 books and not just 27, that's pretty long. Pretty long-term commitment right there. And even then, that's not the ultimate goal, of course. Planting a reproducible, sustainable church. So a minimum may be 10 to 15 to 20 years. And that's probably minimum.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron.